Let's take a few moments together and look at Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Will you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? We're going to look at verses 11 and 12. If you're using a Bible under the seat in front of you, you can find it on page 1382. Lord, I ask your blessing upon your word. I pray that you'd speak to us loud and clear. Lord, thank you that you're with us in every season of life. And in every season, we find strength in you. Lord, greatly encourage your people. Draw us close to you this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been going through the list of champions here in Hebrews chapter 11, champions of faith. And this morning we come to the first female champion of faith, a woman called Sarah. And she's Abraham's wife. And there is an absolutely amazing miracle that Sarah experienced by faith. Look what it says in verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Many of you remember the story of Sarah. By faith, in her old age, well past the age of childbearing, God gave her the power to conceive and give birth to a son for an Abraham. A son that she named Isaac, a miracle conception, a miracle birth, a miracle baby by faith. Just an incredible thing. Now, the journey to the birth of Isaac, it was a tough, difficult, frustrating one for both of them, for Sarah and Abraham. If you remember the story, Sarah was barren. She was unable to have children in her childbearing years. And this was a very frustrating thing for her and Abraham. Remember, in those days, your whole future was wrapped up in a son. But it was especially frustrating for them in light of the promise that God had made to Abraham. Remember, the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." That's the promise that God made to Abraham. I'm making you a great nation. He made that promise to Abraham when they were still in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 66. They had no children. Yet I'm going to make a nation out of you. Both Abraham and Sarah left everything that they knew and went out into the great unknown. They followed God and they got into the promised land. And when they entered the promised land, it says the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." Abraham, you got descendants coming and they're going to own this land one day. And yet, no baby. No descendants. Sarah's barren. So the years continue to tick along, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham has a trusted servant in his household, a man by the name of Eliezer, and he's become like a son to him. And Abraham says to the Lord, "Perhaps he's supposed to be the heir." And God says to Abraham, "Perhaps not." "Abraham, listen carefully," the Lord says. "The heir will come from your body. You will have a son. And then the Lord brought Abraham outside and had him look up into the night sky and said, look toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be, and yet no baby. No descendants. Biological tick. Clock keeps ticking along. In Genesis chapter 16, Abraham is 86 years old. Sarah is 77 years old. They've been in the land for about 11 years, no children. Sarah goes through a very big time season of doubt. She says in Genesis chapter 16, the Lord has restrained me from bearing any children. Perhaps I shall obtain children by my Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. She gives Hagar, her Egyptian maidservant, to Abraham in some sort of surrogate mother arrangement. Now that was lawful in those days. I think it was awful, but it was lawful. They were allowed to do that, but that was not of the Lord. That's Abraham and Sarah taking matters into their own hands, trying to help God out, you know, with one of those promises. Perhaps Abraham thought, the Lord said my heir would come from my body, and perhaps that promise didn't require Sarah's actual participation. So they went through with it. Hagar conceived by Abraham. She gave birth to a son that they named Ishmael. Right away, frustration in the family. Sarah and Hagar, tension, they don't get along. There's issues with Ishmael. And yet for the next 13 years, still no children for Abraham and Sarah. And from Abraham's perspective, Ishmael was the man. Ishmael would be the heir. But then in Genesis chapter 17, when Abraham is 99 years old, Sarah is 90. They've been living in the promised land now for 25 years. The Lord says to Abraham, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And he goes on to tell Abraham, as for Sarah, I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. And the scripture says Abraham dropped on his face before the Lord and laughed. He didn't say it out loud. But in his heart, Abraham said, shall a child be born to a man who is almost 100 years old with a wife who's 90? Impossible. Next chapter, the Lord and two angels visit Abraham. And the Lord says to Abraham, your wife, Sarah, she's going to bear a son. She's going to give birth to a son for you within the year. And you remember Sarah's in the tent and she's listening in on the conversation. You remember that? And she hears that and she laughed. And she said in her heart, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old. She laughed. She comes out of the tent with food for everybody and the Lord says to her, Sarah, why did you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. Oh, you did laugh. It was impossible. But you know, when God makes a promise, no matter how impossible it looks, he comes through. Amen? Genesis chapter 21 says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. They called his name Isaac. You know what the name Isaac means? Laughter. They laughed it off. and God gave them laughter. An absolute miracle. A mom in her 90s. And by the way, Abraham wasn't a spring chicken either, was he? In fact, I love what it says there in verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, right? God did an amazing miracle. And the plan of God would go forward. Isaac was born. To him was born Jacob, who would become Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, destined to become the nation of Israel, descendants as many as the stars of the sky and the sand on the shore. When God promises, he does it. And Sarah got to see one of the greatest miracles in all of history. She got to experience it. Now, in going through that story, it's quite obvious to see that Sarah's faith was not perfect. She did not have a perfect faith, did she? She struggled. She laughed. She did silly things. She did the whole surrogate motherhood thing. She had doubts. She had seasons of doubt and even despair. She was frustrated. Her faith was not perfect. By the way, Abraham's faith was not perfect. He laughed. He took matters into his own hands. He had seasons of doubt. We're going through all of these champions of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 on Sunday mornings. Abel's faith wasn't perfect. Enoch's faith wasn't perfect. Noah's faith wasn't perfect. Nobody listed in chapter 11 had perfect faith. God doesn't require perfect faith because none of us have perfect faith. But they all had enough faith. Sarah's faith wasn't perfect, but it was enough. She had a consistent faith. I love how it sums up her entire life. You know, so often we look at a life and we think, we see the mistakes and the mishaps, right? But God is a God of grace. He sees all the good things. Summing up Sarah's life, end of verse 11. She judged him faithful who had promised. She did not have perfect faith, but she had enough faith to stick it out all those years and eventually see the miraculous hand of God at work. I think the key phrase that sums up Sarah's whole life is found at the first part of verse 11, where it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. That's what faith does. Faith in the Lord gives you strength. The Greek word for strength there is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite, power, super ability. Sarah's faith in the Lord gave her power, strength, the ability, the enablement to see God move in spectacular ways. She experienced a miracle becoming a mother in her 90s. She had to wait a long time, didn't she? But you know what? The longer she had to wait made the miracle more spectacular, didn't it? I'll tell you what, that is what faith does for us as Christians. It strengthens us. And I'll tell you right now, it's a faith that opens the door to any possibility of God himself working in your life. In Jeremiah chapter 20 or 32, we read, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's how the Lord comes to us. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for God? Your faith in him, it leads to miracles. It leads to seeing God move in wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ways. Being a mother in your 90s. By the way, Isaac would grow up and marry Rebecca, who was barren, for many, many years. After direct prayer and crying out to the God, the Lord gives them twins, Jacob and Esau. So Jacob grows up and he meets a woman named Rachel, marries her. She's barren for many, many years. Crying out to God, the Lord opens her womb and they give birth to Joseph. In the book of Judges, chapter 13, a man by the name of Manoah and his wife are unable to have children. They're barren. God miraculously opens her womb and they give birth to Samson, the judge. In 1 Samuel, a woman by the name of Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. She goes to the tent of the Lord. She falls on her face before God. Please give me a son. Give me a son and I'll give him back to you. She miraculously gives birth to Samuel the prophet. In Luke chapter 1, there's an old priest by the name of Zacharias married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth. They're well beyond childbearing. God supernaturally enables them to conceive, and they give birth to who? John the Baptist. You know, it seems God does a lot of supernatural things in that part of conception and in the womb. And ultimately, we're going into a season that is remembered the most spectacular thing, right? The Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, born of the Virgin Mary. God can do anything. I'll tell you what, our faith is like the wild card in life. It's what allows us to see God move. You may have to wait, but you're going to see God move. You know, when we first started the church here, there was a couple, we're going back way to the beginning when we were meeting at the YMCA, there was a couple that was instrumental in our planting this church. And this couple, they could not have children. They tried everything known by fertility experts. They were not able to have children. So they, you know, prayed about it for years. They just weren't able to do it. So finally they said, you know what, we're gonna adopt. And they adopt this beautiful little girl infant from China. Her name's Emily. In fact, she was our first baby dedication, one of them, at this church. Well, guess what happened as they're going through the adoption process? They got pregnant. And God gave them a daughter of their own. I submit to you that God was working behind the scenes so that little Emily would get to America and be born into a beautiful family. And then God gave them their daughter. God knows what's going on in our lives, and He is faithful. And He can do a miracle. I've seen God do miracles in my life. I've seen God do miracles in this church. Faith strengthens you for that. Sarah got to see a miracle. But please don't miss this. Please don't miss this. I believe Sarah's faith in the Lord also gave her strength in the 25 years leading up to the birth of Isaac. I believe her faith in the Lord strengthened her for the day-to-day. A lot of times we think about faith and we think, oh, we need faith for the miracle. What about the faith to survive the day? To serve God day after day. Listen, Sarah lived an amazing life of faith. Abraham left everything in Ur and followed God into the great unknown. So did Sarah. Abraham was called to leave all her family and friends behind, and he did that. So did Sarah. Abraham was called to be a pilgrim in the land for his whole life. And he went, and he lived in tents and moved around in the promised land. So did Sarah. She moved around, intense, like a stranger, an alien in the land. And understand this, for 25 years in the land, she struggled with barrenness. Think of that. How many times did she beat herself up? How many times did she think, I'm the one that's hindering the move of God in this situation? She stayed with Abraham. She roamed the land in tents with Abraham. She didn't go back to Ur. She was faithful and strong in the day-to-day, and that's why I think she's listed in the Hall of Faith. Listen, our faith makes us strong day-to-day. Whatever you might be going through, the Lord will strengthen you when you put your faith in Him. Faith in the Lord gives us strength to keep building into those kids when the days are long, chaotic, and tiresome, right, busy mom? Faith in the Lord helps us to walk through seasons of frustration and trial, never giving up. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us strength in the midst of every season of life, childhood, high school, college, marriage, parenting, career, ministry, retirement, sickness, health, times of grieving, times of rejoicing. Faith gives you strength. I've always appreciated this illustration that Daryl Bell uses to describe the Christian faith and the Christian life. He says, we think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table and saying, here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 bill for quarters. And we go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. We listen to the neighbor's kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost. We go to a committee meeting. We give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Faith in the Lord every day. That's what Sarah had. That's what we have. My brother and sister in Christ, aren't you glad you have faith in the Lord? He can give you strength through the day by day, and to boot, you can see miracles. Anything's available to you. How does anybody get through life without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't. That faith is available. It's available for us to live out every day, and it's available for us to receive afresh again this morning. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, nothing is impossible for You. Nothing. And Lord, we are strengthened when we place our faith and trust in You. You will never leave us or forsake us. You walk with us. You hold us by the hand through every season in life. And Lord, I pray that You would strengthen Your people right now here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been waiting for something for a long time. Maybe you're growing impatient. Let God renew your strength. Maybe you're walking through a very difficult time in life. And quite honestly, there are times in life where other people might be able to help some, but only the Lord can truly help. Turn to Him. Lord, strengthen your people. Increase our faith. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you, who has not yet put their faith in you for salvation. You only get saved by faith. Jesus died on the cross for you. The Son of God left heaven, became man, and died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again the third day, and He is alive. The Scripture says if you want to have all of your sins forgiven, you must place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? You place your faith in Him and you'll be saved. You'll become a child in His family, and you can walk the rest of your life with faith. Real faith. If you've not done that, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. You talking to the Lord in the quietness of your heart, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I bow before you and I put my faith and my trust in you alone. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again. Be the Lord of my life. Fill me with faith and use my life in a mighty way for you. Love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you all to stand with me.